Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati, our pre-election episode. Sherry Coolidge, Jason Williams, Silent Phil. Sherry, early voting is insane right now. The Board of Elections just announced yesterday a record 50,000 plus in-person votes have taken place just here in Hamilton County. That nearly doubles 2016 early in-person voting. Which you've been out there at the Board of Elections many, many times. You've been following this story of early voting. What do you make of that?
You know, people are really engaged and they care. And it was kind of like, well, is COVID going to be the story of this election, right? Are people going to be afraid to go to the polls to vote? And that is not something I'm seeing. I'm seeing people in those lines wanting to have their say and cast their vote and be really what America is supposed to be about their vote. And it's fascinating to watch. And it's just this fervor. The volunteers who are out there are, I feel like, more than in past years. And that seems to be the overwhelming feeling to me, and not, oh, I'm afraid to go on election day because of COVID or you know, that being the dominant thing. It is about how people are feeling about American democracy.
And before we move on and talk a little more about this, our special guest today is the top elections official in Ohio. Secretary of State Frank LaRose will be here in just momentarily to lay it out for us. And as we head down the home stretch to election day. So looking forward to having Secretary LaRose. Sherry, you've got a notepad in front of you of early voting details. What else stands out to you about early voting so far?
It's really the number of people who have requested absentee ballots. And yes, some of that I do think is because of COVID and like you can just do it from the comfort of your home. But I also think it's more widely known that you can do that, making the people feel like, well, I'll just do it this way because they care and want to be involved and have their voice heard, not like I'm scared. I'm asking for this mail-in ballot because, oh, it's terrible. It's just giving these people this different avenue. Just the number of requests. I happened to be at the Board of Elections when the first mailings went out, and there were truckloads of ballots, these secured ballots. They were, you know, wrapped up in this truck. And our Board of Elections director, Sherry Poland, her best friends, like the Norwood postmaster of like getting everything out and making, well, they actually went downtown for that big truckload of these ballots. And so that is really one of the big stories here. And since then, it honestly shifted to making sure that the ballots come back. The sooner you get them back, the sooner we're going to know the results of the election. And so anybody who, you know, if you stay up and watch on election night and you haven't turned your ballot in yet, you got to turn that in because the sooner those ballots are processed and ready to be counted at 7:30, the quicker it will go. The big delay on the primary was because there ended up being 17,000 ballots. And that ended up having to be a mail-in election because there was so much unknown about COVID at that point. And that really slowed things down. I mean, you have to – those envelopes come in. You got to open the envelope. You have to proof them. You have to process them. It's not, you know, you're just shoving something in a scanner. There's a process to it. And, you know, people are sitting socially distanced. They're in masks and gloves and all this PPE to protect themselves while they're doing it. And it's not the fastest process. So the quickest way to do things is to get it done now because that's happening already, just not the count. It's like the way she explained it to me, I did think was fascinating. It's like two separate systems. When everything comes in, it gets put into a system without any counting. And then on election night, it gets into the place where that's actually going to be counted. And that way, nothing's trickling out. They don't want any risk of the idea of like, well, there's so many D's and this, and then that would make people act a certain way. Like, you don't know what's coming in. You can judge from the lines and the sample ballots, like, you know, and we've kind of like, you know, talked about it and a little bit of analysis that way and what's coming in, but you really don't know. And it's by design.
This was as of yesterday's Hamilton County Board of Elections numbers. 179,000 absentee ballots had been mailed out in the county. 138,000 had been returned. So that means 41,000 as of yesterday as we're recording here on Wednesday. So as of Tuesday, a week before the election, 41,000 ballots were still outstanding. So if you're one of those people who still has your ballot, your mail-in ballot, I would really encourage you to get that in ASAP. I would even go an extra step and encourage you to take it to the Board of Elections, to the Dropbox, and drop it in the Dropbox at the Board of Elections.
Have you voted yet, Jason?
I have. I voted early in person. It was awesome.
Voted early absentee and brought it to the Dropbox.
You did? Okay. Was it?
It was, I mean, I actually did it on the first day, mostly because I had to go out there. You know, we happened to get it. We requested it early. We got them. I did that way early. You could start really requesting these things in January.
That's right.
And we did it fairly early, not knowing what election day was going to look like. I mean, I did happen to be like in the craziness of covering the primary. When I made that request, I was worried. Had I seen how things were going at the Board of Elections, like now and closer to the election, I wouldn't have been as concerned. But, you know, I brought it to the Dropbox and it was no problem. And there was a couple cars, but it's just like driving through like a mailbox where you would just, you drop it in, you go, you drop it in, you go, you drop it in. And it's a very quick process. And just the way the Board of Elections is situated, I have to say, I was front and center. I covered the county when we were talking about whether the Board of Elections needed to stay downtown or whether it needed to move to Norwood. And this was the biggest fight.
Oh, yeah.
Every political person in the county was there, you know, making a case for one or the other. I used to cover, you know, in the big years where we were first early voting, those long lines out of this teeny weeny office
downtown.
Ugh. It could not be more fortuitous right now for that Board of Elections to be where it is, in the smack dab in the center of the county, off of the highway, in basically what's a gigantic warehouse. And they didn't, and they could have put early voting in there, but they're like, wow, there's so much going on here. They're like, hey, look, there's a warehouse right next door. And they rented this additional space. It has allowed Hamilton County to have these 60 voting stations. And that's why the line is moving so quickly, because it's this huge space. I've been in there. Everything is socially distanced. And, you know, there's masks at the door if you need them. Do you, you know, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. And just this really quick process. And so I just think back to what that fight looked like and to what we have now. And we're very fortunate that some decisions were made back then to put it where it is.
Yeah, I went on the second day of early voting. It's the second time I've voted early. I voted early for the first time in the 2016 election. And the comparison between waiting in the lines, no comparison. 19 minutes in and out. From the time I hit the exit ramp on the Norwood Lateral to the time I got back on the Norwood Lateral, 19 minutes to park, wait in line, vote. I didn't wait in line. It was like maybe a couple minutes. So easy process. It's interesting that you bring that up. This is the first major election. Well, the first presidential election since the Board of Elections has been in Norwood. And I've been very encouraged, Sherry, that for the most part, it seems like voting in Ohio, across Ohio, has gone pretty smoothly so far. I mean, there's been a couple, I think, hiccups here and there. There was a mistake in Columbus of some, you know, ballots being mailed to the wrong people. But otherwise, it seems like it's gone pretty smoothly, knock on wood, as we head down the home stretch. Anyway, should we jump to Secretary of State Frank LaRose?
Absolutely. A lot of questions.
Let's bring him on. All right, special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. Pleased to welcome, taking time out of a crazy schedule right now, Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Secretary LaRose, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I tell you what, we've got a real sense of focus and mission. Obviously, a challenging time for running elections. That's an understatement. But we know that the work we're doing here is very important, and we're proud to work with our 88 boards of elections around Ohio to make it happen for Ohio.
1 week out, well, less than a week now. Is there anything at this point that keeps you up at night?
You know, my honest answer to that is the only thing keeping me up at night is my children. I've got a 5, 7, and 9 year old, but you know, really the thing that I am perhaps most concerned about at this point is disinformation and false information. And it comes from a whole variety of different sources, right? It's just the old fashioned rumor mill. It's, you know, internet trolls, it's foreign adversaries. It's all of those things. We need to make sure, and I've continued to focus on making sure that Ohioans are empowered with accurate information so they can make their voice heard. I mean, that's just the basic idea about how a democracy should work. That's why your profession is protected by the First Amendment. I mean, the founders never could have imagined the craziness that we're living through right now, but they knew that an informed electorate was essential. And that's why I'm really working hard to make sure that we're getting accurate information out there, that we're debunking myths and rumors and shooting down the latest fantasies that people have invented about elections or whatever else.
What's the craziest thing you've heard?
Oh, I mean, it runs the gamut. It's usually some version of, you know, from the right, it's widespread voter fraud. And from the left, it's widespread voter suppression. The fact is, both of them are exceedingly rare. We keep them rare because neither one of them is ever acceptable, right? Like, these are two of the most pernicious things I can think of. Voter fraud is ugly. Voter suppression is ugly. And thankfully, because we enforce the laws that are on the books here in the state of Ohio, we've been able to keep both of those exceedingly rare. And so it's usually something like that that people invent. One of my favorite examples was actually from a few years ago. There was a photograph that circulated on the internet that somebody claimed was a truck full of ballots. And this was like the reason why nobody should trust the election. Well, it turns out that photo was from Great Britain, and it was like a delivery service that was delivering, you know, files to a bank or something like that. And so they had these like banker's box full of paper. That kind of stuff almost always gets debunked. You know, the other one that I did a video on my social media a couple months ago, well, weeks ago at this point, I think, from Florida. There was a woman who had a ballot, absentee ballot that she was mailing back. And she recorded a video, said, look, you can see on the outside of this absentee ballot envelope my party affiliation. And so the post office is going to throw my ballot away because they don't like the way I'm voting or whatever else, which is nonsense, of course. But the problem was that was a primary ballot. So, of course, in a primary, party affiliation is well known. You're voting in a Democratic primary or a Republican primary. But either way, in Ohio, we don't print party affiliation on the outside of an envelope ever. So it's that kind of stuff. And we work to shoot it down whenever it comes up.
You know, so we could, you know, ask you 1,000 like detailed questions about this election, and we will ask some. But we do like to talk to our guests like about how they got where they are. And like, especially, I mean, you are at the center of everything. Can you kind of take us through like how you got to be Secretary of State, and when, you know, you're running for Secretary of State, did you think, hey, it could be like this?
I don't think any of us imagined a pandemic, but we knew that I knew from the beginning that when Ohio conducts a presidential election, the world is watching. And so we were ready for that aspect of it. But obviously, nobody imagined the circumstances that we're currently under. So I guess my journey really started as a young guy growing up in Akron. I was active in the Boy Scouts. My Boy Scout leader was a World War II veteran. In fact, we celebrated his 98th birthday with a parade around his nursing home last weekend. An amazing guy. Liberated a concentration camp when he was a young Army officer in World War II. Part of the Normandy invasion, served with the OSS. Just this guy's my hero. And so as a kid growing up, I got to hear stories sitting around the campfire about liberating a concentration camp. That's what motivated me to enlist in the Army. I think my parents never really thought I was serious about it until I actually came home, you know, one day as a senior in high school and said, hey, 2 weeks after high school graduation, I'm leaving for basic. That's when they knew I was serious. But, you know, I never looked back. I enjoyed 10 years in uniform, including combat service in a few different places. And one of the things that I got to see while I served in the military was seeing people vote for the first time in places like Kosovo and Iraq. And it kind of stuck with me. Years later, I served in the state Senate after getting out of the Army and going to school at Ohio State, and got to work on elections bills. And it was interesting that when I was first elected to the state Senate, I was the only veteran in the state Senate back in 2011. And so naturally, when the previous Secretary of State, John Husted, wanted to work on a bill for overseas military voters, I was kind of the guy that he wanted to work with because I was the only veteran there. And that sort of put me on a path of being the person in the state Senate that worked on elections-related legislation. As you guys know, with the term-limited state Senate, once you've got any sort of expertise at something, that sort of becomes your lane. And so I ended up doing important bills that, for example, funded the new voting machines, that $115 million for new voting machines all throughout the state of Ohio, bills that created online voter registration, for example, as well as a few things that related to the integrity of our elections, like, for example, the bill that created the system for removing deceased voters from the voter rolls, which shouldn't be controversial, but for some people it is, unfortunately. So anyway, after you know, 6-8 years of doing all this elections-related legislation, I decided that I should run for Secretary of State. And what it reconnected me with was that thing that I'd seen both in Iraq and Kosovo, what free people can do when they are able to vote for the first time, when they're able to express their will in a free and fair election. And it's something, you know, that I never will forget. And that's why I love elections and why I'm absolutely thrilled that I get to do this job.
That's awesome. Sticking with the stories, and one of your favorite election day traditions is right here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, because I love bipartisanship, and again, it doesn't mean that I'm not a good loyal Republican. I am, but I also believe that to solve problems in a democracy, statesmen and women have to come together and actually be willing to compromise and talk it out.
Definitely.
And so I think that any kind of opportunities for Republicans and Democrats to get to know each other, to sit down in a social environment and actually take off the partisan armor a little bit and get to know each other as humans is a good thing. And so one of the cool traditions there in the Queen City is on Election Day, when the, you know, both parties are out there passing out slate cards at the polling locations, making their final push for their candidates. But at noon, they come together at Price Hill Chili for a big bowl of Cincinnati chili. And I think that's just a cool thing, because you'll have both Republicans and Democrats in the room. And it's almost like, all right, we're going to put down our swords here for a minute and have lunch before we go back to our political battle. It's kind of a cool thing.
Do you see anything like that? And you're all over the state. You've been all over the state. Do you see anything else like that in other pockets? Or have you come across anything like that in other pockets of the state? Where Democrats
really,
and Republicans,
really,
and Secretary LaRose, what you're, you know, for our listeners, and these are Republican politicians and Democrat politicians and kind of a who's who of local elected officials and, you know, politicos are gathering here. Do you see that in other parts of the state?
It almost reminds me of that old cartoon where you've got the wolf and the sheepdog that they fight all day, and then when they clock out, they slap each other on the back and say, see you tomorrow. It's kind of that thing, because, it, you know, that you've got, yeah, the folks that are engaged in political combat, if you will, the political operatives, the candidates, the all of those folks, the party chairman and women from both parties and that kind of thing. It's just kind of a cool tradition. So I haven't seen a lot of things like exactly like that. There's one similar in Summit County, where a lot of times on election night, after the Board of Elections is done with all of the final, you know, the sort of election night unofficial tabulation, that a lot of the folks will go to a place called Luigi's, which is kind of like the late night Italian restaurant in Akron, but it's not quite the same. I just wish I could be there at Price Hill Chili this year for the big tradition, but obviously it won't be something I can do this year.
Yeah.
What is your election day going to be like? Do you have, like, I'm going to sleep in because I might be up late? Or, like, what do you think that day is going to look like for you?
No, there won't be any of that. We kind of get ready for what usually amounts to a 24-hour day for us in a lot of circumstances. So we'll be here at the what we call our operations center or command center first thing on Tuesday morning, probably by 5:30 or 6 a.m. because, you know, invariably with 88 boards of elections opening up 4,000 polling locations staffed by 37,000 Ohioans. So think of the scale of that operation. That's like, and to talk in military terms, that's like two infantry divisions being mobilized all of a sudden one morning. 37,000 Ohioans opening 4,000 polling locations. There's going to be issues that come up. The janitor that lost the key and the door that can't get unlocked and the power outage and the carbon monoxide alarm that's going off and all of these different things. So we'll be there to work through any of those kind of hiccups with our boards of elections first thing that morning. And then things tend to stabilize out a little bit around 9, 10 a.m. where we can sort of take a look across the state to make sure there's not any systemic issues going on. We have a very sophisticated tracking system that's sort of watching social media over time, because I really believe that that's sort of the canary in the coal mine, if you will. That'll be the first indication if something is going wrong somewhere. It'll be somebody tweeting about it or sharing it on Facebook. And so we track that. Of course, we have field reps out all over the state that are circulating around the boards of elections. We're in close contact with both campaigns, both political parties, because they can sometimes be a source of information if they have observers that are out there at polling locations and they find something that's going wrong somewhere. So we're gathering information throughout the day. I hate to say it, but sort of putting out fires as they come up. I mean, you know, we always want to be proactive, not reactive, but sort of the nature of that day is such that you're looking for problems that come up, and then you're working to quickly address them. At some point in the day, we'll probably be doing an update to the media. We'll probably be doing that continuously throughout the day, but we may have a formalized version of that at some point in the day. And then at 7:30, when the polls close, then it's all about tabulation. It's all about working with our boards of elections to get that the tabulation completed. Of course, we all want to get it done quickly, but we're never going to sacrifice accuracy for speed. And of course, remember that on election night, it is an unofficial tally. I get this question a lot. Will we have the final number on election night? Well, the answer is, of course not, because we never, ever have a final answer on election night. It's often has been conclusive in the past, but remember that the Board of Elections still has 10 days to receive ballots. As long as they're postmarked by Monday, November 2nd, that's a legal ballot that deserves to be counted. And that's that manifestation of that commitment that every vote matters. And so on election night, we'll give an unofficial result. And new this year, and this is something that is getting a lot of attention around the country, and a lot of other states are starting to copy this, we're going to actually highlight the number of outstanding absentee ballots. It's a knowable number. This office has always tracked that number, but in the short year and a half that I've been here, it's never been highlighted because it really wasn't all that relevant in the past in many cases. But we're going to put it right at the top of the site. And here's why that matters. Obviously, if your favorite candidate is ahead by a million votes and there's only 200,000 outstanding absentee ballots, then you can look at that and say, this is conclusive. We know with a high degree of certainty that, you know, who the winner was. But likewise, if your favorite candidate's only ahead by 100,000, and there are yet 200,000 outstanding absentee ballots, then just by definition, that contest is not over. And anybody that declared victory in those scenarios would just look foolish for having done so. So it's important that we just sort of have that transparency so people know on election night whether they're looking at a conclusive result or not.
I have two questions related to that. When you say that you will highlight these outstanding absentees, are you going to say the affiliation to them?
No, that's up to the parties to figure out and to do that kind of thing. Although that is, you know, information
knowable,
that can be gleaned,
right,
from the county boards of elections and from our site. As you know, when folks return their absentee ballot, it appears as a public record who has returned and who hasn't. Of course, how you vote is a secret known only to you. But, you know, that you have voted is something that's publicly known in Ohio. And the parties both do their analysis based on past trends in voting and primaries and that kind of thing, but that's not something that we do. What we're going to do is highlight the aggregate number, and basically the point of that is making sure that Ohioans can know whether what they're looking at is conclusive or not. And by the way, that's not just for the presidential races. You know, there are critical races all the way down the ballot that are important to think about as well.
And that's the website, just make sure folks know, that's voteohio.gov, right?
Yeah, that's the official place for right now. That's the place to go for information about how to be a voter, the trusted source. And by the way, that .gov is important. We transitioned all of our Board of Elections websites throughout the state, all 88 of them, as well as our website to a .gov domain. And that's safer than .com or .org or .us and all these other things, because that's only available for official government entities. And so VoteOhio.gov, that's the trusted source of information for how to be a voter, how to participate in the three great options that Ohioans have: absentee, early voting, and in-person election day voting. And then, of course, on election night, that transitions over to being the what happens at on election night on VoteOhio.gov will be a link to the election night reporting website.
Are you – so going back a little bit, are you concerned what if either of the candidates – declares victory and you feel like there's still saying I took Ohio and you feel like there's too many absentees out? Do you feel like that puts you in a difficult position? Do you have kind of a plan for that if that happens?
Well, I don't mind difficult position. Certainly the facts stand on their own on these kind of things. It's not a statement of opinion by me to say when there's 100,000 votes that separate the first and second place finisher, and there are 200,000 outstanding absentee ballots, that it would be ridiculous for anyone to declare victory under those scenarios. That's not a statement of opinion. It's just simply the math. And that's why we're making sure to highlight that that number so that people see that. And again, I've never been particularly shy about speaking the truth. It doesn't really matter to me whether I'm debunking a myth that was started by a Republican or debunking a myth that was started by a Democrat. In this role, although I'm a proud Republican, was elected as a member of the Republican Party, but when I took this oath of office, when I raised my right hand in January of 2019, I put on the referee's jersey. I'm not here wearing a red jersey or a blue jersey. None of the decisions I make are colored in any way by what benefits one party or the other. The work that I do here is to administer fair elections according to Title 35 of the Ohio Revised Code, which is kind of my Boy Scout handbook these days.
Will you say, though, that's impossible, we don't know? Or are you going to leave it to the parties to say that or the media to say that? I mean, do you feel like that's something you can declare if that happens and you can make a statement on that?
Oh, sure. I can say, look at these numbers. It's self-evident here that this contest is not over and you can't call a victor in this contest, and that what people are going to now have to, you know, allow for is the law to play itself out. And by the way, when I say, you know, we follow the law here in Ohio, it's important for people to understand that we actually have a very well thought out, robust system for running elections that, you know, can weather storms like the one that we're facing right now. And one of the reasons for that is that, you know, we have three great choices in Ohio for how to vote. We have a well thought out system for how we tabulate results after the election. When the results change between election night and the final tabulation that happens, you know, and certification that happens a couple weeks later, that's not a sign that something is going wrong. In fact, it's a sign that everything is going right. That manifestation of the commitment that you hear every elections official make, that every vote matters. Well, during the 10 days after the election, we're making sure that every vote that was legally cast is counted, and that it takes time for that to play out. And so it's important for people to understand that process.
Do you, let's say things go relatively smoothly for all 88 county boards of election, getting all the, you know, their ballots in, and you obviously you have the still the outstanding absentee ballots that you'll have to count, over the 10-day period. But do you have a ballpark time in mind when you think that probably generally the election night results are going to be announced or known?
Yeah, I don't mean to sort of dodge it, because it's up to the voters, and that's the honest answer. It's the old Lincoln quote: "Elections belong to the people." It's true, and what I mean by that is that if Ohio voters wait to send in their absentee ballots, then it will cause counting to take longer on Tuesday, November 3rd. And what I mean by that. Ohioans have been mailing in absentee ballots already for weeks. We know, based on yesterday's numbers, that there are still over 800,000 outstanding absentee ballots that are sitting on people's kitchen tables or the dashboard of their car. Those Ohioans need to send in their absentee ballots. we were, you know, reminding Ohioans up until yesterday that they could still request an absentee ballot. We're really, at this point, effectively, it's too late just logistically, although the law allows you to request an absentee ballot up until Saturday. It's logistically really too late to get an absentee ballot mailed to you at this point. But for those that have one that are out there, they need to return them. And here's the simple math. If tens of thousands of people return their absentee ballots on Saturday the 31st or on Monday the 2nd, what's going to result is a big avalanche of mail arriving on Tuesday that the Board of Elections is going to have to process. And so that's where it could take longer. But if that doesn't happen, then we'll be one of the earlier states, I really believe, because Ohio begins processing our absentee ballots as soon as they arrive. So that means today and yesterday and the day before and all the way back until the 6th of October, the Board of Elections was receiving ballots. I put this really cool video together that you can see on my social media page. It's called The Life of an Absentee Ballot. It sort of follows it. It's a time lapse sort of sped up thing that follows an absentee ballot through the whole process. I was meant to sort of demystify and explain it to people. But the Board of Elections can cut it open, proof the ID information, check the signature against the signature on file, flatten it out, which don't underestimate that. They've got to flatten it out so it goes through the scanner. And then they can begin scanning them. And so on election night at 7:30, those absentee ballots are ready to count, and they count them right away. So when you start seeing results at 8 or 8:15 on election night, those are those absentee votes, the very first ones counted. Contrast that to states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. In those states, they can't even slice open envelopes until election day. So imagine a big place like Wayne County, Michigan, Detroit. They have a vault at their Board of Elections that has to have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of envelopes in it right now that they can't touch until election day. It could be Friday or Saturday before Michigan has results.
So Florida is like us, right? Because, of course, Florida's in a spotlight, much like we are. And they can do this pre-work, right?
In that regard, they're like us. In many other ways, they're different. And it's so interesting how each state runs elections very differently. But yeah, in that regard, they can begin cutting open and counting, or not counting, but proofing and processing those absentee ballots immediately so that they can count them very quickly on election night.
Do you talk to other secretaries of state? Like maybe you have like a Facebook group? Or like, what do you guys talk about?
All the time. And actually, there's a bunch of different like text message strings that have started up over the last few months and years. We've all gotten to know each other, and there's actually kind of a good collegiality that crosses the party divide as well. It's funny because I've built a great relationship with the Michigan Secretary of State, and we were both sworn in at the same time, and we're both about the same age, and her husband served in the Army, and so we had some similarities. We both enjoy running as a way to stay in shape and blow off steam. But so she's a Democrat from Michigan, I'm a Republican from Ohio. You'd think, oh my gosh, how can these two agree on anything? But we've actually built a great partnership. And so Jocelyn Benson, the Michigan Secretary of State, and I often text back and forth. But also, you know, the Kentucky Secretary of State, who was just sworn in last year, Secretary Adams, and over in West Virginia, Mac Warner. So here in the region in the Midwest, we've got a great working relationship, but also all around the country.
How are you voting?
Which way?
Which way? Sorry. Which way?
Like mailing on election day.
My wife and I voted absentee, and I'll tell you, I was very intentional about voting absentee and highlighting that for people because I wanted to make sure people knew that they should trust voting this way. And there's been so much noise out there, and this is. It's actually been really bothersome to me that you know, on the right, there's been all this noise about you can't trust absentee voting because of all the fraud, which is not true. And on the left, there's been all this noise about you can't trust absentee voting because the Postal Service is all screwed up by this guy that wants to screw up the Postal Service intentionally. Not true. And so I really wanted to highlight the fact that this is a great way to vote, and Ohioans have been doing it for a long time. And so when Lauren and I got the absentee ballot request form in the mail, which my office sent out to 8 million Ohioans, every registered voter got one of those. That was, by the way, 17 tractor trailer loads full of mail. I went out to the print shop where they were processing that, and I was envisioning like this scene from Smokey and the Bandit. It's like 17 truckloads full of envelopes to mail out those absentee ballot requests. So when Lauren and I got ours, we requested our ballot. The Franklin County Board of Elections sent us our ballots, and we mailed them in, and then we tracked it online. In fact, in Franklin County, they send you a text message once they receive your ballot. Wow. And so like a week and a half ago, Lauren and I knew that our vote had been received, our ballot had been received, and that it would be counted promptly on election night. And that's a great feeling, actually. Never had to stand in any lines, never had to do anything. We just voted from the comfort of our home. And one of the other benefits of being an absentee voter is that you get to cheat on the test. And I think we all can admit, even as engaged as we are as journalists and elected officials, sometimes you get down to the lower part of the ballot and you're like, no, wait a second. Which judge candidate is which, or how did I want to vote on that local tax levy issue or whatever else? When you vote absentee, you don't have to memorize it. You sit there at your kitchen table and you can do your research. As I've been saying, in the time it would take you to organize your sock drawer, you can be the most informed voter ever.
So I do have a question about that. We're seeing these lines. They're moving quickly. Ohio, I don't feel like, I mean, I've been watching like all over Ohio. It doesn't seem too bad. And here in Hamilton County, it is, I mean, there's 60 stations for the early voting. And so you see these lines and the sample ballots. In past years, I've seen those people, and that seems very important to the people passing out the sample ballots, and people do seem to be looking for them. Are people allowed to approach the lines with the sample ballots?
Yeah, so what the law says in Ohio, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me, but that no one can obstruct or delay or intimidate a voter in such a way that would sort of prevent them from accessing a polling location. The law also says that political campaigning has to stay outside of a 100-foot buffer around a polling location. As we know, that's generally annotated by a flag that's either stuck into the ground or duct taped to a traffic cone or what have you. The law also says that if the line of voters extends outside of that 100-foot sort of neutral zone, that there's effectively a 10-foot buffer, 10 feet around that line of voters that you can't, encroach upon. I would say that if you're holding up a slate card or a sample ballot, if you're and a voter in line indicates that they want one, I don't think anybody would fault you for handing it to said voter. But to take it beyond that, to sort of work the line in a more aggressive way, may be a problem. But again, that's up to local interpretation. It's the locals that enforce those laws. But we know when we see, any kind of suppression, any kind of intimidation, any kind of obstruction, that is never tolerated, will not be accepted, will be dealt with very promptly. But thankfully, we've not seen any incidents that approach that level that we know of yet.
Secretary LaRose, really appreciate you taking this time today. Is there anything else here? And also thanks to your comms team. They're just awesome, Maggie and John, for allowing us to catch you here in a real quick, busy time. Is there anything else that we've not asked here today that you want to – there's something you feel like you need to share with voters that we haven't asked about?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is this. It is easy to vote in Ohio. Anybody that tries to tell you it's not easy to vote in Ohio is just not telling the truth. And it's unfortunate that sometimes for their own partisan reasons, people sort of go back to this tired old line about trying to tell voters it's hard to vote. Effectively, that's really voter suppression, right? When you tell people it's hard to do something, it makes them less likely to want to do it. And so the message loud and clear is that it's easy to vote in Ohio. You've got three great options. There's not a bad choice among them. Pick which one works best for you and for your lifestyle, whether it's voting absentee from the comfort of home and mailing in your absentee ballot, or whether it's going and participating in early voting or going on election day from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. It's going to be a safe and healthy experience in Ohio. We've recruited massive numbers of poll workers. In fact, over 50,000 people have been trained at this point for these 37,000 positions. So we have a reserve force ready to go. And then we've put in place really state-of-the-art health and safety considerations as well, a 61-point checklist that we devised with the Centers for Disease Control and the Ohio Department of Health. So if you feel comfortable going to the grocery store, you should feel comfortable coming to your polling location. So again, The noise out there is just that, noise. It's not hard to vote in Ohio. 93% of Ohioans responded to a CBS News survey just a couple months ago and said that you can't get 93% of people to agree what day of the week it is. And so Ohioans know that it's easy to vote. And it'll be a fair and honest contest whether your favorite candidates win or not. It'll be one that Ohioans can trust. And that's our mission. That's what we do here, and proud to do the work with 88 county boards of elections.
Thanks again so much. And, you know, thanks for your service to the public. And you really appreciate you taking the time today.
Absolutely. Take care.
You
too. Look forward to being back in the Queen City soon.
Thanks again to Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Wow, a lot there. You just a lot covered there, Sherry. What's your impressions?
I'm picturing him, you know, in his office with a bat phone on election day. I did think it was interesting that he's talked about, you know, watching social media. Because, I mean, I find things there and see things bubbling up from there. And to know that that's happening at a state level, like somebody's like really dedicated to that, to find problems early. I thought that was fascinating.
Very fascinating. I couldn't agree with him more on the fact that it's easy to vote in Ohio. I wrote a column about it a couple weeks ago. I went on the second day of early voting, was in and out from the exit ramp to the time I got back on the exit ramp, 19 minutes. So Secretary LaRose is absolutely right that it is it's easy to vote in Ohio.
And I want to talk about a little bit like the Hamilton County voting process. So he is right. You mail it in and you can check to see if your ballot was processed or even if you early vote. If you're there early voting, things can be caught at the moment. I do know somebody who had a problem with theirs when he went to check, he could see that, but he also got a letter. He just forgot to fill out something on the envelope. Like every little detail does matter. And there are, you know, when you're filling this out, read the envelope just to make sure that you're doing everything. This is like you're taking the SAT. You got to follow all those directions to the T. It matters. But it's not like you're mailing in your ballot here and it's like, well, I hope I did it right. You can check. And Sherry Poland, the Board of Elections Director in Hamilton County, is really encouraging people to send their ballots back now so they can determine if there is a problem. It's why they are allowed to process these ballots, even though they're not counting them until 7:30, so they can know if there's a problem. They're taking them out of the envelope. They are flattening them out before they put them in the scanner. If there's a problem, they will send you a letter and they will put that in the system so you can look at it yourself and maybe call and be proactive. And so there's all these checks and balances because every vote does matter and the accuracy is so important. When he said something that Sherry Poland says to me, it's not about being fast, it's about being accurate. And everybody does want it to be fast. And she knows that people are going to be like, how about now? Are you done now? Are you done now? Are you done now? And she wants the answer to be yes, but she also wants every single vote to count. And so that's very much part of the process. I did want to mention that.
Good stuff. VoteOhio.gov is the website that you can check all the election night results across the state. As you heard there, you know, your favorite candidate is in a really competitive race. You can go and see like, hey, are there how many outstanding absentee ballots there may still be out there that could determine or not determine that the result will change. So that's a new feature, as Secretary LaRose mentioned on the VoteOhio.gov Secretary of State's website this year.
And so this is the podcast the week before the election. We're going to be breaking down the election next week on how things go. But on election night, I'm going to be at the Board of Elections, and the Inquirer is going to be doing a Facebook Live from the various things that we're all covering, from Columbus to where I'm at. Jason's going to, you know, weigh in with some political analysis. Catherine Nero, near and dear to our hearts. She does our morning video at the Inquirer, is going to be hosting this. I encourage people to tune in to kind of get up to the minute what we're thinking and what we're seeing. But also, you know, Jason and I are on Twitter, and you can hit us up with questions on Twitter. I'm going to be on social media all night. Like, I'm just basically there to watch the count, see what's going on. And so if you have questions, feel free to ask. Because we do respond to things like our social media. And that's what we're here for, providing information. It could come that way. It could come in the stories that you're all going to read online tomorrow, the next day. Please definitely do that. But there's a lot of different ways to interact with the Inquirer for this election.
Yeah, our Facebook Live will be going out. We'll be going through the entire night, election night. And that's facebook.com/inquirer to find that. Catch Sherry on Twitter at Sharon Coolidge, and me on Twitter at Jay Williams Cincy with a Y. Like Sherry said, we're out. I'm going to be actually here in the command studio in the newsroom, taking calls, texting with sources, monitoring all the races, and texting with my coworkers as well, who are out and about, and you know, trying to get a gauge and engaging with you on the social media platforms. So thanks so much for your support of the podcast and for your support of Cincinnati.com and Cincinnati Inquirer. And we will catch you next week after the election.